Welcome, everyone. This is Sandy Curtin, nurse practitioner at the University of Arizona Cancer Center, and I'm very pleased today to be here with Allison, an acute leukemia patient, who will share with us her perspectives on her experience with the diagnosis, treatment, and survival with AML. So, Allison, thank you for joining us. I want to start with the first question, which is, how did you feel when receiving the diagnosis? I know we saw you as a potentially benign hematology patient, but tell me how you felt when you heard the diagnosis of AML.
Yeah, I was definitely blindsided, as you mentioned. We had a potential cause for my abnormal lab, so I had kind of written any potential cancer off the book, so I just felt like I'd been hit by a ton of bricks. It was something I'd never even considered, had never even mentioned to my now husband until 2 days ago. I was like, oh, I'm just going to go in and run these labs. They just have to rule out cancer, and then all of a sudden we were facing this life-altering news. And my first thought, as I'm sure a lot of cancer patients, is oh, my God, I'm dying. So that was really stressful and scary, but I had a great team, and they were really helpful in breaking the news to my family. And I think that was one of the biggest things that saved me, was that they were willing to explain to my parents and get in direct contact with them so that I didn't have to deal with that. For me, it was just like, okay, like, let's get the next step going. And so that helped a lot, but it was blindsiding. I like barely remember those first 24 to 48 hours probably. I've like blacked it out of my memory. I was so overwhelmed. And it really helped that I had strong leadership in my team. They just like took charge and they were like, this is what we're gonna do. You gotta be here at this time, and then this is the day you're gonna get hospitalized, and then this is what we're gonna start. And I was like, okay, once we had a plan, I could just put my head down and get going.
Great. Now let's talk a little bit more about, so your parents live out of town and you were then with your boyfriend, and so talk a little bit more about that. You know, the communication, not having to break the news to your family yourself. Can you tell us a little bit more about that? Because this is complicated, and you're a nurse, right?
Yes.
But you're not an oncology nurse. So talk to me a little bit about that.
Yeah, so I know my family, I have more health literacy, as you mentioned, than the average bear, but they don't. So it was really helpful to have you be able to explain it in a way that my parents could grasp and actually answer the questions that they had, because I wasn't even to the point yet where I could formulate legitimate questions about what my course of treatment was going to be. And my family had a million questions, I'm sure. So it was really helpful to have you break that down for them and answer them when I just couldn't. I have no idea what was going on.
And I remember, you know, when we finally decided we needed to do a bone marrow biopsy, and then sharing ultimately the diagnosis, which came from the bone marrow biopsy, and we actually did that by phone with your now husband. What was that like, and how was it for you guys when you got together and talked about that?
First 24 to 48 hours were horrible. I think we cried like the entire time just out of fear and uncertainty of what was happening.
Yeah, pretty overwhelming. I know we talked a little bit about you get just plucked right out of your life, right? And you're working full time and he's working and so what was that like needing to talk to your employer and others about, you know, really your disruption of your life as you knew it prior to the diagnosis?
Yeah, from when the next day I walked out of the cancer center, they had told me, you need to call your work and tell them you're not coming back. And so I did, and somebody who wasn't my immediate boss answered the phone. And so that was really hard, trying to keep my voice steady, trying not to let them know I was like nothing serious was wrong, because I had to talk to my boss first. And I just told them, hey, I'm not coming back. for my next shift, and I'm not coming back the shift after that. And I couldn't even talk to my boss on the phone because I was so upset and overwhelmed. I had to text her. Thank God I had her personal number, and I had to be like, I'm sorry to do this over the phone, but I just can't pull it together. I'm not coming back because I have cancer. And those were, like, such scary words to have to say, because I'm sure, like a lot of other nurses, you feel like this is your passion, this is your life, this is, it's something that gives you purpose, for me anyway. And so just to have that, like, ripped away, and now you're on the other side, you're the patient, it was just really life-altering. I feel like I carry, like, the lessons I learned from that even today in my practice.
Great. Right. It is very abrupt. Do you think there's anything that we as a team or any part of the team, inpatient, outpatient, I mean, I think that's the other piece, right, is you're really now launched into this, you're inpatient, you're outpatient, you're in and out of the clinic all the time. Anything that we could have done better as a team, not just the provider team, but the nurses or other staff in how we communicate, is the message consistent? What were some of your takeaways from that, and any recommendations on what we could have done better?
Were so awesome. I loved all the nurses at the Cancer Center. It was nice to get to, like, see the same faces over and over again, and you could kind of, like, you know, make small talk with them when you're coming into treatment. Oh, how was your week? What are you doing this weekend? Blah, blah, blah. It really, like, made it a more calming atmosphere for me. And I was able to ask them things that I didn't feel comfortable, maybe, or I thought I was over-exaggerating. As opposed to calling into the cancer center when I came in for labs, I'd be like, hey, can you take a look at this? This, like, doesn't feel right to me. And that's actually how they ended up finding a blood clot in my arm, because I was just like, I feel like this isn't, like, I feel like my arm feels funny, but I don't know if I'm being crazy. And then having the nurse take a second look at it and be like, no, it doesn't look quite right. Like, I think if I had just been at home, I don't know if I would have reached out to anybody. But being able to see the same nurses consistently and knowing that they were friendly and knowing that they were opening to listen to me, It made it a lot easier for me to maybe pursue treatment or, like, ask questions that I wouldn't have otherwise. As far as what maybe could have been done better, and I think they were great, but I just didn't understand, even though I do work in the medical field, I didn't understand all the side effects of the medications that I was going to receive, especially inpatient, because it was so focused on, let's get this going, let's get you your first treatment and everything. And I remember being in the hospital and having the hardest time using my phone. And I just thought, oh, I'm sleep deprived, or, oh, something's wrong. I didn't realize it was, like, neurological effects from my chemo. And I remember getting so frustrated to why I was having a hard time texting. And I think if somebody had told me, like, hey, you're not dumb, this is a side effect of the medication. I didn't realize there were going to be neurological side effects. And I didn't realize all the side effects of steroids, even though I understand steroids as a medication and we use it frequently. I didn't understand I was going to get, like, violent mood swings or be up cleaning my house all night because I couldn't sleep after getting steroids. So I think just, like, being upfront about, like, this medicine might make you crazy would have been helpful.
Great. So, the, you know, really important. There's so much information that you get in such a short period of time. It's so overwhelming, even for someone with medical knowledge, that you can imagine what it's like for someone who has no knowledge. It is overwhelming. And so we do need to try to figure out a way to parse that out in a way and reinforce it as you go forward, to your point. So that's really great feedback. So you mentioned the neurotoxicity that comes with high-dose Ara-C or cytarabine, and then you had some other, and then you had a blood clot from having the line in your arm. What were some of the other challenging side effects that you had, and tell us how they affected you?
I feel like I actually ended up running, like, the gamut of, like, a bunch of things I never thought I was going to personally experience through this experience. At one point, my PICC line got infected, and I got MRSA bacteremia and had to be hospitalized. And that was, like, mind-blowing. I tend to be one to, like, brush off symptoms unless I feel like it gets really serious, which in hindsight now I realize that I have no concept of what is really serious and what is not, like. There were so many things I could have missed if I didn't have my doctor and these these nurses all watching out for me and pointing things out that aren't normal. But that was really scary too, to realize like how sick I had let myself get without realizing that there was a problem.
Right. It was just maybe a little pimple and it turned out to be more than that. Right. So what other, how long did it take you to start to feel like yourself?
After treatment was completely done, I did kind of cheat on my last treatment. We stopped mine early because my bone marrow wasn't quite recovering, and we gave me, Neulasta, which was a game changer. So that helped a lot on that last round, and I don't feel like it ran me down as far, and we gave me less chemo on the last round too. So I feel like I had an easier road, but that second dose was horrible. And that's the one where I ended up having mercury bacteremia and a lot of other complications. But from my last chemo treatment, I would say it was a good 4 months before I stopped feeling like I was dying every time I did any sort of work or activity or anything. And now about 6 months out, I think I'm, or now I guess it's way longer than that, but I feel like I'm about as close to my baseline as I expect to get now.
And in all fairness, you were incredibly fit and athlete and young. So again, we can imagine what that might be like for somebody who's older or not, who's not fit or has comorbidities. So even with someone like you, who's otherwise young and healthy, very challenging process for sure. Anything else you want to share about, what other opportunities you, or what would your message be to nurses as they work with these patients, and what can we all do better in helping people through this journey and through the recovery period?
I would say going into it, I mean, and the nurses that I met at the cancer center were really great at this. They were really good at meeting me kind of where I was. Like if I had a lot of questions, they took the time to answer it. If I like didn't really want to talk and just wanted to be left alone with my little Kindle that day, they were cool with that too. So they were really helpful. They were really good at explaining things before we were going to do it. So I had an idea of what my treatment plan was and what was going to happen next. And I felt like there was really good communication throughout the whole cancer center, which was really helpful. And if I had a question, they could just call my doctor's office, which was right there, and get it clarified. I also think some of the resources they gave me were helpful, but I also found some more helpful resources probably a little later after I had missed it. I didn't realize maybe how helpful like social media could be. I didn't really have anybody else's experience to go off of. And so I think it would be helpful, like maybe to find an Instagram account about cancer patients and their experiences. And it like really helped me realize that, oh, these things that I'm feeling or these things that I'm seeing is normal, or like this isn't normal. And educating myself like on the Leukemia and Lymphoma Society has been really, really helpful. But I think in another sense, I didn't ask enough questions, or I didn't want to do a lot of research on my own when I was in it, because I didn't want to be stressed out about potential things that could happen that were not happening to me, if that makes sense. Like to this day, I don't look at what the numbers are for survival after AML with just chemo, which is what I do, or what the relapse rates are and stuff, because I don't want to freak myself out any more than I already can be. Because I think when you're in it, you're either worried about something that's happening to you, or you're worried about what could potentially happen to you, or if you're going to get bad news next.
Oh, that's the reality, right? And so you're a survivor, and that's, I think, very fitting for someone who's had any kind of cancer diagnosis. That's always part of what is in the back of your mind, and choosing to focus on being well and being in the moment is a great message, and a message for us as clinicians to help people focus on their, you know, living and being well and all of that. So I think that's a really great way to sum it up. It is a difficult journey for anybody, and AML is very abrupt. It doesn't give us a lot of time to think or ponder or discuss. It's something that needs to be dealt with very quickly, and so that makes it very challenging for certainly for you and for patients. And so you were able to finally get married, right? Which was great, albeit a slightly different plan.
That's okay.
Right? But we were very happy about that. Anything else that you want to share with the nurses that will be watching this series that you think is important?
Just keep doing what I know you guys are doing. I know you guys advocate for your patients. I know you guys listen to us. And that honestly, like I said, meant so much to me because it really was my nurses who caught some of the symptoms of problems or noticed that there were problems with me before I even noticed. Actually, two days before I was hospitalized for the MRSA bacteremia, I came in to just get, I had gotten a really bad bloody nose and they wanted to draw labs. And even my nurse was like, you don't look right. Are you okay? You don't look right. And I was like, I'm okay. And then 2 days later, I come to find out I've got MRSA bacteremia. And I feel like she picked up on it 2 days before I even had an idea that anything was wrong. Or like I said, the blood clot. And so just keep listening to your gut and listening to your patients and just talking to us. I feel like that a couple of times like really saved me or really contributed to me getting an intervention that I needed in time just because the nurses were looking out for me and my team was looking out for me.
That's a very good point because, you know, in between provider visits, the nurses are really, really the safety net, aren't they? Because you're infrequently for labs, you may not be seeing one of the providers, and so that is really a key message as to, you know, and that continuity is really important so that people that know you say, you know what, you just don't look like you did yesterday or the day before. So really great message there. Some of these are really subtle and may present in an unusual way, you know, so really good message there. Okay, I think we are at time, and so thank you so much for taking the time to share your story. I think it's really important that we hear from someone who's had the experience and take that to heart, and, you know, we can always do better, and social media is definitely something that is critical for not just younger patients, but everybody is particularly now. And so that's a really good message as well. And I think with that, we will thank you again and hope you have a wonderful day.
Appreciate all the work you guys all do. You literally are saving lives, and I appreciate the work everybody did to save mine.